cowards at ABC muted the crowd volume there. We had to get that from our Canadian friends.
They're not cowardly.
In its entirety.
They're not cowardly lions.
Panthers win the Stanley Cup. Good afternoon, everyone out there. Andrew Filippone with Chris Muller and Donnie Football, who have a big Awaken 180 event today. So they will leave at about the halfway point of the show to go let people know.
Open house. How they can come see us.
Lose weight and feel better about themselves, which is terrific. And so we'll hang out with them until then.
Now, Donnie, did you wear your fancy T-shirt for today? For today's appearance, it's an open house. We'll be meeting people. I have one of my many golf shirts on.
That doesn't look like a strip district job. There's no...
plain black T-shirt.
Is it Jack Lambert cartoon or anything like that?
Is that a cotton poly blend? I see that it doesn't say college on the front of it.
No, it's like one of those Old Navy specials.
The guns are out.
That has become a very big part of my wardrobe.
Your repertoire?
It is a schmedium type shirt where the guns are exposed to let people know that he's physically fit and... He's done this life-changing Awaken 180 plan. Penguins fans are very happy today because of the result last night. I've picked up on that vibe.
Oh, I straight up
we
asked,
are
yeah.
We are in a good mood today.
Well, I my
there's an extra pep in our step because of exactly how that played out. That there was a hollow Conn Smythe trophy
to Connor
handed
McDavid,
out. Yes, which is emblematic and is completely symbolic of everything that Connor McDavid's career is to this point, which is ungodly numbers, insane stat production, but does not have the team hardware to back it up, which in this sport, you need.
People don't want him to win it here because if he does, the numbers will dictate that you have to start looking very hard at
Correct.
Where his place
slots
in.
And I am one of those people. I do not want to have
my
the uncomfortable conversation.
My father-in-law is a huge hockey fan. He said the same thing. I said, my wife texted in the group chat, who are you rooting for and why? My
Bingo.
Father-in-law, Florida, I don't want McDavid to have a cup. Now, was this argumentative of me or just me being Mulsey where I said, actually, I'm rooting for McDavid. I love greatness and want to see it win.
It depends how much you cherish Mario and Sidney Crosby and don't want to have to argue that their place in hockey history is being challenged by this guy. And as long as he is cupless, he can have the Conn Smythe. As long as he's cupless, he can't outrank those guys. He can't pass them on the all-time rankings.
I mean, I think
and we don't like
I
when our
rings,
legends
rings culture is out of control, but it is relevant to a degree.
We don't like when our legends get lapped
usurped.
Or passed up or usurped. Exactly, that's a nice fancy word. We don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like when I don't like when if the Patriots were to win a seventh Super Bowl, which seems highly, highly, highly unlikely, given the fact that Tom Brady is not going to come out of retirement and play for them this year. They were to get to seven, that would F with me a little bit. I don't want that. I don't want to have to bow down to them and say that franchise has more championships than us. And clearly, like with the Penguins, it goes a step further than just the five Stanley Cups. It's the way we put our superstars on pedestals. What Mario means to this fan base and this community, and ditto for Sid. And I don't want to have that conversation of, well, now that McDavid has a cup, look at his numbers. He's on pace to be better than Sid. He did something in these playoffs that Sidney Crosby never did.
He does something. I don't know if he'll ever usurp Mario in my mind, who still looks to me like the most talented guy ever to lace up skates because he was, I mean, McDavid's not a small guy. He's, what, 6'1 or so?
Okay,
he's not a big guy.
That's in your mind, but if McDavid wins a Stanley Cup and then continues to pile up Hart trophies and Art Rosses, it is going to turn into, among the North American hockey media, is Connor McDavid going to challenge Wayne Gretzky and end up as the greatest hockey player of all time? Like, they will try to maneuver him past Mario.
Let's say he's played 9 years. He's won the Hart Trophy in a third of those seasons. So he's got three of them, right? And he's got five Art Ross trophies. Let's say he plays another 9 years, racks up a total of six MVPs, 10 Art Rosses, and gets to 2,000 points.
And never wins a Stanley Cup. He can't pass Sid or Mario.
Okay.
He can't.
I just wonder how much, though, in a team sport, we would be judging an individual based on a sport that involves 18 skaters and a goalie in any given game.
But all of the great players in the game's history have put the Stanley Cup over their heads. There is no Dan Marino in hockey. There's no one that you could say, well, I watched this guy play in the eye test. No one did it as well as him. There's no Barry Sanders in hockey history. There's no guy that you say, well, he's got an argument.
Now, wait a minute. Just because there's not that every great in hockey has managed to win a cup, Ray Bourque had to go like mercenary to Colorado to do it, but he got it done.
Yep.
Where was he on Gentile's list of...
He had him as one of the three best defensemen of all time.
So...
Go back and watch the 91 Eastern Conference Final.
He gets worked like a part-time job.
Tell me what you think about his defensive acumen.
Let me ask you this. Just because there isn't one of those guys in hockey, every great has managed to win it. If McDavid's individual stats are so overwhelming, but he happens to be the one example of an all-time great that doesn't win it, I don't know if I could just apply the NHL standard of, well, every other great player has won one.
Why not?
Dock
Why couldn't
him for
you?
That. Because I'd be like lying to myself if I were observing the way he plays hockey, the impact he has on games, and then in a team sport saying, and by the way, in the team sport where individual players are most blunted and superstars are least protected,
okay,
I feel like I'd be lying to myself to say, oh, well, that clearly puts him a notch below insert name here. Then you get into the weighty issue of if you're trying to rank him among the all-time greats, if he never wins one. And I, but for the record, I think this will end up being moot. I think he will win one, but that's beside the point. At what point do you slot him in there and say, I have to put him above this guy, even though this guy's won a cup? If he has 2,000 points, six MVPs, and 10 Art Ross trophies, but he never wins one, does that mean he's not as good as, say, Steve Yzerman? You'd have to put him below Yzerman?
Okay, now you're asking me, like, is he in the top 20 or 30 hockey players of all time?
Where do you draw the line
here? I draw the line at the, like, gods of the game. Mario Lemieux and Sidney Crosby are in hockey's Mount Olympus. He doesn't get residency there if he doesn't win one.
I think Olympus would be pretty cheap
if that
happened.
You see this cup that I have right here, this paper cup? When I move it sideways, what shape is that? Can you let our audience know?
It's a rhombus.
What shape that is?
What do you mean when you move it sideways?
Oh, I'm spilling it now. Well, what shape does that look like to you?
A circle.
And what number does that look like?
A zero.
Zero. How many points did McDavid have last night?
He had zero.
How many points did he have in game six?
He had zero.
So
I think that's what people really like. He came up small in the biggest game of his life.
Right, so that's what I mean. So you are trying to fashion this argument that there is a way for him to still be among the immortals of hockey, and he did not have a mortal performance in game six and seven. It was not as if he did everything in his power to help the Oilers win the Stanley Cup, and it just so happened that the sheer volume of good Panthers, he was outnumbered. He did his part. He had a three-point game, but they scored four or five goals, and it wasn't his fault. That's not what happened. He was shut down in game six, and then last night, good defense beat good offense. There were Rob Scuderi-esque plays around the net with McDavid that prevented him from scoring goals.
We can say this now comfortably because the man has three cups and no one denies that he somehow might will a team, although it looks highly unlikely in reality that he ever will, to a fourth one. Tell me how many points Sidney Crosby had in game six and seven in 09.
Well, in 09, he got injured, so that's not really his fault. I mean,
he didn't even play the last half of the game. What did you want him to do?
Go
in
out
the last
there
three with... games of that series, when they got boat raced in game five, won a nail biter in game six, won a nail biter in game seven, 0 points and a minus three. Now, nobody questions this. They won. Did they win because of Sidney Crosby?
Well, he did not get the Conn Smythe, though, too.
And you just admitted yesterday he didn't even deserve it the time he got it in 2016.
And then he got it in 2017,
which he deserved more in 2017.
Yes. Yeah.
But my point is, what did Sidney Crosby individually do in the first cup run?
Well, that's a great...
Late in that series.
I'm happy you bring that
up. But you're saying that he's great because the team ended up lifting him up in those games.
No, it's not only that. Sidney Crosby is also, when we are describing what makes him and sets him apart from the best players of all time, it is his two-way play that is such a piece of the Sidney Crosby lore. We know that that is not the case with McDavid. It is skate like you are Tyreek Hill, like you are Carl Lewis, a world-class sprinter, on skates with the puck, and you are scoring goals and creating goals like crazy. And that dried up.
If defense is so important, ultimately, why don't we like lionize or praise the Selke Trophy winner? Why isn't Michael Pekka thought of as one of the great players in NHL history?
Well, Patrice Bergeron will go into the Hall of Fame. Bob Gainey of the 1970s for the old hockey heads.
Bergeron
is one
of
these guys.
Way better of a hockey player than, say, a Michael Pekka, a pure defensive player.
But, hey, look,
Bergeron had 1,000
fair
points.
Fair enough, but I mean, you're naming like an outlier guy. They're athletes or they're hockey players. Like Taylor Hall won a Hart Trophy.
Here, let me ask
those
you,
things happen
let me
once
ask
in a
you
while.
This about
Matt Ryan won an NFL MVP.
Where does Jerome Iginla slot in for you among great hockey players? Never won one.
He is like a top 100 player of all time. If he
is
was
he a
on
better
that
player
list,
than Vinny LeCavalier?
Yes. Yeah,
but
Vinny
LeCavalier beat him.
Okay, obviously, obviously, I think Dan Marino's better than Trent Dilfer. Like, we can go to the all-time example that gets floated out.
But I mean, LeCavalier is not Trent Dilfer among players.
No, but when we are splitting, this is a splitting hairs exercise. The conversation,
you love them.
The conversation before last night's game was Connor McDavid trying to enter the speakeasy of the all-time great players, not like top 50, not Malkin getting left off a top 100 list, not even top 10, him Kool-Aid manning his way into the top five room.
So tell me where he does slot in if he never wins one, but has, let's say, 2,000 points. He breaks that barrier, wins a ton more MVPs. Just where would he slot in for you?
He would be the greatest player to never win a
Stanley
Cup.
Put a number
Cup
on it.
Ever. I would probably say top 20.
So you'd name potentially as many as 19 players being better than him.
I don't know about that.
Would Evgeny Malkin be better than him? Three-time Cup champ, Conn Smythe winner?
Probably not. No.
That seems like to me, from this vantage point, from my comfortable seat in this room, a very arbitrary line you're deciding to draw. Is he better than Nick Lidstrom?
No. I'm not going to do that.
If I were starting a team today or in the future, and you told me I get McDavid, who never won one, or Lidstrom, I would take McDavid 100 times out of 100.
Over maybe the second greatest defenseman in NHL history?
Because I might be picking the greatest center since Mario Lemieux ever.
Yes, have fun with your Conn Smythes and your no Stanley Cups, and just having a very exciting team that falls.
Is that McDavid's fault? Is that McDavid's fault, or is it his GM's fault?
I don't know. Whose fault is it that he had 0 points in the last two games?
By that logic, again, Crosby was basically a walking bum in the last three.
He was hurt in Game 7, Chris.
He had 3 points for the whole series, Pony.
And he was a great defensive player.
Did you measure that? Did you go back and look at his Corsi and his Fenwick for that series?
I've gone back and watched those games. Yes.
Well, Joe Starkey, who is a very shrewd hockey mind, will tell you two people can watch the same hockey game and come to very different conclusions.
And clearly we have, because you're going to bet for Connor McDavid here, apparently.
I'm just going with what my eyes tell me. That guy
what
is.
What did your eyes tell you about him last night? That he deserves to be
game
in Sidney Crosby's. Oh, how about Game 6?
They won, so why does that matter that he didn't score? The Penguins won Game 6 with nothing from Crosby in 09.
Well, right, that was great captaincy. That was great leadership. He didn't have to just score goals.
How did he lead from the locker room in Game 7?
I think he came out on the bench.
So he was just rah-rahing the boys?
Here's Reinhardt on the counter. Sam Reinhardt scores!
Panthers won the Stanley Cup. We have all of the final calls for people. We have the CBC. We have ESPN. We have the Panthers radio network.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Oilers radio network.
A note about ESPN. It's not the call. It's the visual. They missed Barkov starting the cup skate. How do you miss? They showed Bettman handing it off to him. And then if you were on the ABC feed or whatever, right, which is produced by
ESPN. That's what I was watching.
Okay. They show Barkov take the cup and take like maybe two strides. Then he skates off camera and they miss him for 2 seconds. So like the very first time he's holding the cup up, obviously, to the crowd, it's nothing. You're just looking at like nothing.
Donnie, did you hear what they were playing there to celebrate the Stanley Cup? Lou Bega's Mambo Number 5. Have you heard this song?
One,
oh, yeah.
Two,
cue it up.
Three, four, five. Come on, Donnie, let's play.
It's a great one-hit wonder.
If it's their fifth cup, it makes sense.
Should they have played one by Metallica or one by U2?
I don't think you need
one
that
by Creed.
But there's no other reason to play it. Is he a South Florida resident?
Doesn't that song make you think of stuff like Miami and warm weather places where everyone's dancing? I don't think of Edmonton. I think of Florida.
So you think in Fort Lauderdale and Miami, 30 years after this song came out, it's still a huge hit there?
Do you think of anywhere but South Florida or a tropical area?
He's from West Germany.
Even better.
He's from Bavaria.
The song was aspirational.
He has no connection whatsoever to Miami. Why not play the Miami Sound Machine? Fire up some Gloria Estefan.
What about like the theme from Miami Vice? But wait a minute. Don't they not want to be known as Miami's team?
Miami.
But aren't they more Fort Lauderdale? First of all, they're in Sunrise, Florida, which is really quite far removed from Fort Lauderdale and Miami.
Pitbull, one of those guys. He's a Mr. 305. Like, those guys.
Pitbull, I think, would be your better one.
Not
there.
Lou Bega. The song came out in 1999.
I thought maybe that Lou Bega was German, but then it ended up moving. He was born in Munich, and it appears that he... Okay, here we go. Yeah, as a teenager, he traveled to Miami, where he found the inspiration for Mambo No. 5.
Still not good enough.
Then Bega also lived in Uganda for 6 months. Just kind of a radical departure from Miami.
All right, here are the clips of the goals. The game-winning call. This is from our sister station in Miami, WQAM, the final call.
Forsling in the corner. He'll try and hold this. 10 seconds left. 2-1 Panthers. A dream 30 years in the making is a reality. Whoa! The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. You always will have a place in South Florida. Oh, my God.
The Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
That's
for
the radio
first
call?
Time
yes.
In franchise history.
Yeah!
Is that guy...
That is their color analyst, Bill Lindsay, who was on the 96 Panthers.
Is that guy getting eaten by a shark? Is he having sexual relations? What are we doing there?
I'm not a fan of it. It's just... You just have screaming man on this highlight that is going to get played for decades over and over again.
He does a little bit better.
He's good. Could you imagine if Mike Lang is doing his Lord Stanley,
get me the brandy,
and you just brandy, hear, yeah. I wasn't Phil Bork at the time, obviously.
Paul Stagel
just going,
like the Yeti. I mean, it would be kind of funny, and we would probably play it once a day on this show, 30 plus years later, but I get what you're saying. You got to let that one breathe
horrendous.
A little. You got to let it breathe if you're Bill Lindsay.
I mean, I know for a fact, since I had the guy in class, if let's say Lanny was calling the Pirates winning a World Series, if a color analyst was just screaming over the call, he would have sucker punched the guy, and he would have been justified to do so.
I could totally see that. It's so funny you bring that up, because when I heard all these calls, I was tempted to just have Donnie call up Lanny and just play them for him and have him critique him on the air.
What if we had just had Lanny set? Lanny makes the call right here, and he just comes
here
on
is,
and gives
here
it
is
a
the
grade.
Oilers end of things.
Oh, boy.
The agony of losing the Stanley Cup final.
20 seconds to go in the season. Game 7, Stanley Cup final. The Oilers come up ice. One last chance. Bouchard up the right hand side. Through Draisaitl. Panthers will try to pin it in the corner. 10 seconds to go. 7 seconds. Florida 2. Edmonton 1. Oilers pulling. 2 seconds. 1 second. The season is over. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup. 2-1 in game 7.
I love it.
I don't like it. He's screaming, dude.
He's trying to live up to the moment. Like, this is our last gasp. This is all I have left. You have to score right now, please.
I don't like that. No,
please,
you're a
score.
Play by your job. He said,
"We can't
his voice
lose
is gone.
We were down 3-0. We can't."
I actually think that I expect from the losing broadcaster there. I almost expect
he left it all out on the ice.
But
there,
I almost expect when he gets to the point where he knows it's done. Almost a flat affect of 2 seconds left. Pause. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley. Like, I want to hear like a very flat monotone delivery.
A dejected man?
Yes. I don't want to hear a guy who sounds like he's doing, I don't know, like, what was that?
With God as my witness, the Florida Panthers have broken the Edmonton Oilers in half.
He gave me some Paul Allen vibes there.
I like the old Panthers play-by-play guy. They should have brought him back for this.
Ballard steps into the middle. Ian Bouwmeester will trade. Ballard, quick try, shoots, he scores! Ball! The meatloaf! Down the goal line to Stillman. He skates up. Faceoff dot. Turnaround shot. Traffic out in front. Loose puck. They shoot. They score! Bouwmeester! Paid that man his money!
I
here comes
do
Kreps
like
down
this.
The right side. He's got Scratsons with him. Kreps fires a shot. Rebound. They score! Pour some sugar on me! McKay back to Weiss. Top of the faceoff circle. Down the goal line to Stillman. Over to Bouwmeester. He shoots. He scores! Run, Forrest! Run! Bouwmeester on the left point. Steps in. Wrist drop right on. They shoot. They score! She blinded me with science!
Wait, why did they get rid
that
of this guy?
A legend.
Was he way too cool?
No, I think he got promoted to TV. So that's why we don't have his.
Oh, they yeah. I was gonna say they let him go because
yeah, Randy Moeller.
Yeah, way too much of a badass.
I mean, he has like the sayings like Mike Lang after goals, except they're like much more.
They're movie lines or TV show lines.
Yeah, it's like it's either a song lyric or a movie line that pretty much everybody knows. I mean, I'm not taking away from the Mike Lang sayings, but. Like you're scoring points with me if you're I throwing just, out lines like that.
Honestly,
Ma,
I know
the meatloaf.
I know he's ripping off movie lines, but it's original. No one else does it. That's the point. Like Lang is one of a kind across probably all sports, but you're the movie
she
line guy. You're the movies inside. You're the pop culture guy. I like this.
All of these situations also they make me think of what Pat Summerall would sound like.
Oh well, on Sam Reinhart's goal,
McDavid in the corner.
Well, no, it would have been Reinhart. Down the wing, shot, goal.
That's pretty much what McDonough did on the final call.
The wall, which would be fitting. 3 seconds to go. The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
There's no signature line. There's no creative line. There's no Jim Nance.
What if he had said...
He didn't come up with something...
You always remember your first.
Yeah, it's just... The Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup.
I don't. Okay, this is going to.
It's so basic.
I know, but you guys are going to get mad. I actually don't mind it because he's not getting in the way of it. It's here's what happened. I'm yelling. I'm screaming. My voice isn't cracking, which is strange.
Well, how do you think the CBC call should sound?
It's their national sport, so I hold them to a different standard. I don't think because there's a Canadian team, they should be dour. I think they should be reverential to the concept of the cup itself.
All right, I'll play that coming back.
If you're looking for a number one goalie, you've got Ullmark and you've got Gibson, and who else is available right now? And this individual said, you are missing someone. And when I started to figure out who he was talking about, I landed on Jari. That was the guy. Good statistical numbers, health. Health is the big one. Good statistical numbers, though. I was curious about that. That says to me there's something going on out there.
Hockey Talk. That is Elliot Friedman, hockey's version of Adam Schefter, saying that Tristan Jarry is on the block and that the thing that scares teams is health. Here's what would scare me. 2-6 in the playoffs with an 8.91 save percentage, and he just got benched for Alex Nedeljkovic the last 2 months of the Penguin season. How does that not come up in that discussion?
Question I had when I heard that clip from Elliot Friedman was, same as what you said, the 891 save percentage, but do teams look at that and say that's more a Penguins problem and not a Jarry problem?
Starkey brought that up on the showdown Sunday night.
That specific point?
Like, that's why
they look at it
thinks,
as a function of the Penguins?
Yes, that's why he thinks Jarry can get traded and will get traded, because the Penguins will get blamed for his...
Basically, they hang the guy out to dry.
Subpar stats. Yep.
Yeah. Caveat emptor. Let the buyer beware. Because I think that's what would happen. I don't look at him as a goalie let down by a team letting him be under siege for 60 minutes.
Nedeljkovic played behind the same defense.
And played better. I've always looked at Jarry as a guy mentally who just didn't have 60 minutes of focus. That was...
Jars.
That's the knock on
oh,
him going
like
back to the
Oh, you mean like when he passed
minors.
The puck right to the Islanders and they scored in that playoff
yes.
game?
That's the knock on him going back to the AHL was very talented player, would play 58 sparkling minutes. The 2 minutes that were not sparkling in a given game were bad enough to lose him a fair number of hockey games.
Allmark got traded last night. Donnie, can you look up what he got traded for? Look up what Boston got back for him. They made a trade with Ottawa during the Stanley Cup final.
That's a weird move. Do you do that?
It is, but think about this. I would F the NHL is what my reaction would be if I got any kind of blowback from that from the commissioner. Don't have your Stanley Cup final on June 24th when the draft is like four days from that game, and the start of free agency is a week away. Now we're 6 days away from free agency.
I have a take.
If you're
going
to put these two things so close together, teams need to get their ducks in a row here.
I have a take on that old timeline thing. I was at first making fun of it and saying this should not happen. This is like an abomination to have the Cup final this late. I saw a tweet today that totally changed my mind. If you're looking at it from the NHL's perspective,
no break.
Well, no, just how is it bad from any publicity is good publicity to have one of your Sunbelt teams finally win one in a very highly scrutinized and watched Cup final, I would imagine, got big ratings, where you have the best player in the game on one side and then the Panthers on the other. You have 4 days, now you have a draft, which is something that does get NHL fans and even some casual fans interested in, right?
And they have their awards one night. I don't know when that is. That's
happening.
And
then you have, right after that,
free agency.
So you do have, what do we always praise the NFL for?
No offseason.
And an uninterrupted 24/7 news cycle. Well, the NHL's doing their miniature version of it, so I have to give them props for that.
You have Allmark's trade details?
Yeah, so Allmark went to the Senators in exchange for Boston's original 24 first round pick, which is 25th overall. Mark Kostelic.
Never heard of him.
Is it Jonas Korpisalo?
Jonas Korpisalo.
My name is Jonas. Okay, I'm here in the net.
He went back, and the Senators are retaining 25% of his salary.
He had an .890 save percentage in 55 games, so he'll be Swayman's backup. So they got a backup goalie.
Kostelic's a center who is the definition of just a guy. He's a fourth-line type of player.
I can't picture the Penguins getting a first-round pick for Jari.
Allmark, much better player.
That would be stunning work by Dubas if he's able to pull that off. Plus, as Friedman did not point out in that clip but did on his show, you still have other goalies like John Gibson who are available. So it's not like Jari is the only, quote-unquote, bigger-name goalie who's being dangled out there. I still think a week from now, he's on the Penguins roster when the dust settles on the offseason. Do you agree?
Yes.
Here is the CBC in Canada's call of the end of Game 7. This is Chris Cuthbert.
Alicia Cuthbert's father.
Yes, the voice of hockey. Man, she was a dame back in the day.
Was? I think she still is. She's like our age.
She's married to Dion Phaneuf.
Who always struck me as kind of a D-bag on the ice. Was not a fan.
Yeah, I didn't really like him either. Very, very, very much like a poor man's Chris Pronger, like a homeless version of that. All right, here's the CBC call of their team. Canada has not won a Stanley Cup since 1993. Let's hear how it sounded on TV up there.
To the corner. Florida trying to keep it there. Clock is green.
I'm not surprised that that's
the best. Numbers call.
But it's the best call of the bunch.
You really think so?
Other than the sound mixing being like
They like to have the crowd audio up there, apparently.
I know, but other than that, that's what I expect from the national broadcaster of the national sport. For the first time in their history, Panthers are Stanley Cup champions.
But if I'm doing the call there, I think I say, and for another year, the Stanley Cup stays in the States. The Florida Panthers are Stanley Cup champs, or the drought continues.
I don't feel like I know I'm in Canada where it's a big deal to them that a Canadian team
win. Or how about Connor McDavid denied?
I don't make it about
McDavid, Mick overrated.
Yes. Can't believe you're not doing play-by-play for the CBC after hearing some of these suggestions.
What if he did that?
McDammit again.
Mick overrated.
No, that's a good call. I can't believe you guys like the Florida call.
I don't like the Florida call.
I'm sorry, the Edmonton call, where the guy is screaming his lungs out.
I just like... I